Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. This is God's Word. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore to you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison, for I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief bearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, the passage starts by saying, "when some time had passed." The next chapter will start with, "when 2 full years had passed." Okay? Sometime later, and then 2 more years. This is just a little snapshot in the midst of a prolonged period of imprisonment during the time that Joseph was a slave in Egypt. How did Joseph feel about it? Joseph lets us know how he feels about it in verse 14. When all goes well with you, he says to the cupbearer, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, injustice. And even here, I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. I don't deserve this. I mean, okay, I was kind of a brat back home. I got that now, sunk in. I realize it was stupid of me to tell them about the dreams. I could have just kept that to myself or maybe shared it with my dad and said, what do you think this means? But instead, I knew what it meant and I told people what it meant. And I was a brat and I'm sorry. But I didn't deserve to be sold into slavery. And after I was a slave, I didn't do anything to deserve being thrown into a dungeon. He's in prison. Now, where is he in prison? We talked about this last time. He's in prison at Potiphar's house. Potiphar is the captain of the guard, and when Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, Potiphar didn't kill him. He could have. It wasn't like, well, no, we have a system of justice here in Egypt, and it requires that we treat slaves. No, he could have killed him. But apparently Potiphar knew better. And so Potiphar first imprisons him instead of killing him, and then there's no trial. He just continues to be in prison, but is soon promoted to being in charge of the prison, just like he used to be in charge of Potiphar's whole house. Now he's just in charge of the prison. What must he be feeling? On the one hand, he believes that the Lord is with him. But his circumstances are not what he wants them to be, and he is really hoping that his circumstances are going to change. He is really believing that somehow, some way, he's going to get out of this situation. It's going to improve. Before this happens, Joseph doesn't know that this is going to happen. After this happens, Joseph is very hopeful that now something good is going to happen. 2 years, two full years are going to go by before anything that Joseph notes is going to happen. How long is 2 years? When you're in the middle of it, it can be really long. Been there, okay? I've had things where God was working on a particular thing for over 20 years. We were praying for this place when we had never heard of Ware's Valley. And our prayers went on for more than 20 years that God would give us a place where we could have a children's home. And I don't mean we occasionally prayed about it. I mean it was a matter of fervent, consistent prayer. And we didn't know. I mean, if you'd asked me at the start of that, how long do you think it'll be before you get the children's home? I would have said, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years. And to me, that would be like the ultimate illustration of patience. You know, yes, we had to persevere in prayer for over 2 years. I mean, that would be like we really hung in there, didn't lose the vision. I mean, we're talking decades, folks. More than two periods of 10 years. And it wasn't because God was short on power or didn't know what we needed or what. It was because God was working on us as well as on others. God was putting other things in place. But his timing is perfect. But it's not often what we would choose. And yet, God's working. He's working on us. He's making us what we need to be. And that involves change. And that often involves pain. And it definitely is designed to cultivate patience and perseverance in us. So Joseph is not happy with his circumstances, but he is not wavering in his faith in God. How do we know that? Well, when the baker and the cupbearer are put into prison, some time has passed. That's the opening phrase. Some time later, cupbearer and the baker offended their master, put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, same prison where Joseph was confined, and they were assigned to Joseph. Next phrase. What's the next phrase? After they had been in custody for some time. This wasn't their first night there. Wasn't their second night there. So from the time Joseph is put into prison, there's a period of time before he's promoted to being in charge of the prison. From the time Joseph is promoted to being in charge of the prison to the time that the baker and the cupbearer come, some time has gone by. From the time that the cupbearer and the baker are put into the prison to the time that this story happens with the dream, more time has gone by. Time is passing. God's at work. Just doesn't feel that way. My circumstances are still uncomfortable. I still don't like where I am and what's going on. But God's at work. God's at work. And Joseph, when this happens, sees them looking dejected. And so he asks them, why are your faces so sad today? We're going to get to the part about his trust in God in just a second. I just don't want to miss these details. Joseph was in charge of the prison and he cared about the prisoners. And he reads the facial expressions and he says, what's going on? Are you okay? Are you doing all right? What's bothering you? I can tell you're not happy. And so they tell him the problem. We both had dreams last night, vivid dreams, and we can't get them out of our head, and we don't know what they mean. Dreams can have meaning. We said this when we started the Joseph saga, that if your dream is from God, it will come true. Okay? If your dream is from God, it'll come true. God will make sure. Sometimes your dream is because you had pepperoni. All right? But if it's a dream from God, it'll come true. So, we both had dreams, verse 8, but there's no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, oh, dreams. You know, I've had dreams too. Let me tell you about mine. Didn't do that. Joseph had had dreams. Joseph had an idea what they meant. Joseph didn't know how they were going to come to pass. But Joseph says, tell me about yours. Because the interpretation belongs to God. Well, now hold on, Joseph. Are you saying you're God? I mean, look at the phrase that he uses. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. Are you saying you're God? No, but I know him. You see, Joseph had such a close relationship with God that he was confident if they would tell him, he could take it to the Lord and the Lord would talk to him about it. Wow. I mean, are you getting this? Joseph didn't take the glory to himself. He didn't say, I can interpret dreams. He said, God is the one who has interpretations. We'll see the same thing when he talks to Pharaoh about dreams. Okay? The interpretation comes from the Lord. The dreams come from the Lord. So tell me, because you obviously don't know the Lord, but I do. You tell me, I'll talk with him. He'll talk with me. I'll talk with you. Joseph is acting as an intermediator here. He's a mediator between God and men. Who does he represent? Who? Jesus. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. We needed somebody to go to God on our behalf. Joseph is a type of Christ. Remember when we first introduced him and we talked about how his brothers took him and abused him and put him in the ground, but then he rises up and is elevated to be the ruler before whom every knee shall bow. Joseph is not perfect. He is a foreshadowing of the one who is perfect. He is not the mediator. He is a mediator. He is a representative looking forward to the one Messiah who will be anointed by God, come, be mistreated, crucified, buried, rise again, and exalted to the Father's right hand, and every knee is going to bow before him.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And now, he says to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So they tell him the dream. The cupbearer goes first. And when Joseph hears what the cupbearer says, verse 12, this is what it means, Joseph said to him. 3 branches or 3 days? How do you know that? God told him. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. You will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, when all goes well with you, please remember me and show me kindness and tell Pharaoh and get me out of here. I want you to suppose for just a minute that Joseph's desire came true at that point. The cupbearer, within 3 days, is restored to his position. He tells Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, oh, well, sounds like a good young man. Let me talk to him. Joseph's brought before Pharaoh, gets to present his case. Pharaoh says, you're right. Based on your good performance and your mistreatment here in my country, I want to send you back as a gesture of goodwill toward your people. You go on home. Joseph goes back, and everything's good for about 9 years. And then famine comes, and Joseph and his family, his father, his brothers, all die in the famine because there isn't any grain down in Egypt to buy because they didn't know that famine was coming and they didn't prepare for it. You like that story? You know, I really want to get out of here. I really want to be delivered from this circumstance I'm in. I really want my situation to change. If Joseph had gotten out when he wanted to get out, he would not have been made prime minister of Egypt. He would not have been there to interpret Pharaoh's dream. The people would not have had their grain taxed. They would not have had plenty so that the other nations came to buy from them. Everybody would have starved. Happy trails to you. I'm just asking. Do you think it would have been good if Joseph had gotten out when he wanted? No, not good. Instead, he's stuck in prison because God loves Joseph and his rotten brothers and his crafty, deceitful old father, and a whole bunch of other people, including us. Because it would be through this family that God would bring the Messiah, who is the only one who could save us. So, Joseph says, here's the interpretation. You're going to be restored to your position within 3 days. When it happens, when, not if, when it happens, be kind to me. Get me out of here. Okay? You're going to be back right there. How often would the cupbearer get to see the Pharaoh? How often? Anytime he was thirsty. How many times a day do you have something to drink? A bunch. What if every time you got anything to drink, there was somebody there giving it to you? One person giving. How much interface would you have with that person? How well would you know them? Okay? Joseph's thinking, this guy's the perfect guy to talk to Pharaoh about me. I mean, he may not have a chance the first day, but he'll have a chance. Because he's going to see Pharaoh over and over and over and over and over and over every day. And so, come on, man. Help me out here. Well, the baker hears what Joseph has said to the cupbearer, and he thinks, that was a good outcome. Let me tell you about mine. I've always felt badly for the baker. He may have been a horrible villain. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what he did to get in trouble with Pharaoh. He may have been a creep. But whatever he had 3 days left. If that's what God says, God's given this guy a dream. God's given this guy a warning. If you knew you had 3 days before you die, would you get serious about God? Once you and I realize that he's in charge and our time is limited, then I want to use the time we've got to do what he says. Amen? Let's do what God says with the time we have, however much that might be. Most of us do not get a 3-day warning the way the baker did. As hard as it is to be told, within 3 days, you're going to be killed and the birds are going to eat your flesh. This guy at least had 3 days warning. Not everybody gets that. A lot of people think everything's going great and it's not. I watched the video of the two young men in England who were filming with their camera in the car as they sped on the roads in their town, filming the speedometer and showing how fast they could go. They were having a ball until they crashed. Both died. Video made it. And their families said, we need to release that as a warning to others. Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun till it was over. It's not fun now. Let me tell you something. You and I don't know how much time we've got. We don't know how much time we've got. But God does. God had already ordained what was going to happen. The reason that these guys had these dreams is because God was not only telling them what was going to happen, he was showing the cupbearer his power so that when God's time was right, the cupbearer would be the one to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. It didn't go the way Joseph wanted, because it didn't happen as quickly as Joseph wanted. But God's plan was better than Joseph's. And God's plan is better than yours and mine. God's plan is perfect. He knows exactly what he's doing. Trust him. Obey him. You will not regret it.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.